Good evening.
Good evening.
I will be reading from Matthew chapter 6, verses 20 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, verses 20 through 34. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single day to his life? A single hour to his life. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Thank you, young man. Am I working? Yeah. First, before I start, I want to thank the congregation for the way that my wife and I have been received since we moved here. That's not always the case anymore, and we really appreciate you all. Tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a hillbilly. I was born in South Missouri, and I speak hillbilly. I don't claim to be an eloquent speaker. I'll never be a Larry, but I will be a John, and tonight you get the Gospel of John. So as we go into this lesson, I want you to know, this is a lesson that I have never given before. This is a lesson that has been on my mind now for quite some time. And we say that we believe what the Bible says. I ask this question to all of us, especially to me, is that true? Do we really believe what the Bible says? I want to refer you to chapter 33 of Matthew 6. It says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. You know, Jesus says here that we can't do anything to better ourselves in any way. Whatever the blessings that we have comes from him and not from us. And there's nothing we can do but thank him for those blessings. And this is what's been on my mind for some time, because as we pray to God, I hear us, myself and others, we thank God for all of the blessings that we enjoy in this country. We thank him for the country that we have to live in, for that we have the freedom that we have, and that we have all of the things that we have. Now, I wonder, and it's crossed my mind and crossed my heart, are we using God's blessings to the best of our ability? If we're not, we're falling short of what he expects. He expects us to give him our entire life.
Amen.
Not a part of our life, not a little bit of our life, not our spare time, but all of our life and all of our time, every day and every night and every week and every month. We are his salesmanship. We are all that he has on this earth to go out and face a lost and dying world and to preach the gospel wherever we go. I have made it a habit for several years now. When someone tells me to have a nice day, I try to always answer with one thing. Every day the Lord gives me is a blessed day.
Amen.
Now, whenever we get to thinking that the world is not watching us and knowing what we are and what we do, we're fooling ourselves. The world knows who we are because they are at war with us. They are Satan's salesmanship. And when we go out among the world to teach the gospel, we need to be able to influence the sinners in this world. We need to be very careful as we go out to do this that we don't allow them to influence us instead. But they will do that if they possibly can. The reason I can say that I know that the world is watching us is because of something that happened to me a few years ago that I've never forgotten. I've always thought it was quite a blessing. I've always thought it was quite a thing of honor to me. A lady walked up to me in a store that I do not know. She said to me, "I need you to do me a favor." I expected that she was going to ask me for some money or whatever, and I said, "I will do for you whatever I possibly can. What do you need?" She said, "I just need for you to pray for me." And I said, "Well, I'll be glad to do that. That's not a problem, but I must ask you, why me?" She said, "Well, sir, I have heard you talk and I've heard seen the manner of your life, and I know and I see that you are a real Christian." Now, brethren, that is a compliment. Make no mistake. So whenever we're doing what we should be doing, the world is going to see us as different. And we want to be seen as different. We don't want to be seen as the same old thing that we see in the world. We have blessings from God in this country that no other country enjoys. I talk a lot about the danger that I think our biggest danger in this country for us is our wealth. Now tell me how poor you are and I'll tell you how rich you are, because we are extremely, extremely rich. I know I've traveled around the world and I've been overseas some in my life, and I've worked with churches overseas. And brethren, I'll never forget a small congregation in Panama City, Panama. These brethren fully understood what "give us this day our daily bread" meant. There was probably about 30 people or 35 in this congregation, and sometimes their weekly contribution would get all the way up to $12, sometimes $14. Most of it mine and a sergeant that went there with me. And these people had one thing that sometimes I'm afraid that we miss. They loved the Lord. They believed in God.
Amen.
Now, I know myself and you, we don't do everything that we could do. You know, I wouldn't mind doing that, but let's do it tomorrow. I really don't feel up to it today, so let's wait till tomorrow. But you know, when I was a young man and three old elders called me in a meeting, and when they called me for a meeting, I thought, well, I don't know what in the world this could be about, because I've tried to be as good as I can. I've tried to set as good of an example as I can. So I just don't understand what this is about. But I went to the meeting, and these three old elders, and I'm sure they're all dead now, because at that time I was 23 years old and they were up in their 50s, and I'm getting up there pretty close to them, 80 now. So I'm sure they're all dead. But they said to me something that surprised me. Carl Morgan was the one that done the talking, and he said, John, we have discussed this and we feel like you have the ability to be an evangelist. So we want to send you and your family over to another section to start a congregation of which we will oversee. And they sent my wife and me and George Brown and his wife, and we went over to the west side of Kansas City, Missouri, which you don't want to go over there by yourself after dark. It's kind of a rough place. Well, you know, we found that we didn't have much of a place to seek the lost but where the lost are. That was in pool halls, bars, first one place and another. But if you've never preached the gospel in a bar, you haven't lived. That's kind of fun. Sometimes they want to throw you out, but sometimes you'd be surprised at how interested they can get. And we visited a tuberculosis sanatorium twice a week. Now the folks that was there that were patients, we didn't have a lot of effect on their life. Their life was short at that time. But you know what? They all had a family. And out of this visitation, a congregation was born and built. It still stands on the west side in Kansas City, Missouri. And then as we went on through life, I was reading 1 Timothy 5, where it says, if a man does not take care of those of his own, and especially those of his household, he's worse than an infidel. So in June of 1997, we sold everything that we had, and we moved to Puerto Rico to take care of Alma's mother for her last 5 years she lived. I baptized her when she was 95 years old. We left there after she passed away, and Alma had a brother-in-law in South Florida that was not a Christian, so we moved to South Florida. We spent about 16 months there, but we baptized him when he was 71. I've known this man for over 50 years. As a matter of fact, I introduced him to my wife's sister, and he's not a man that you made a decision for. He made his own decisions. But he's told me many times, and we'll always see this when we're trying to teach the world, he told me many, many times, John, I know what you're saying. I believe what you're saying, but I'm too bad. Nothing can save me. John, you have no idea how many people I've killed. My answer to that was always the same. I know that it doesn't matter. The blood of Jesus covers it all. Well, when he decided to become a Christian, he wasn't sick and anything, but you know, he died 6 months later. So those are highlights of part of my ministry. But the reason I've been thinking so much about this lesson is in Luke chapter 12, where we begin in verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. But sometimes today, I think that we get to thinking our life has all to do with those things that we possess. And there's nothing wrong with having things. There's nothing wrong with having money. But you know what is wrong? When you get to loving that stuff and that money more than you love my soul, you're in danger. If I love what I have more than I love your soul, I'm in danger. We can lose our soul so easy without even trying. We need to stay alert at all times. because if we don't, we can fall short. And you know, then he gave them a parable, and in this parable he said, this verse 16, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought to himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to store my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all of my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? And sometimes I wonder about our lives. You know, we spend a great amount of our lives, a great amount of our wealth, a great amount of our mind and energy in raising our children and teaching them how to be successful in this world. Sometimes we do that while we fail to teach them how to be successful in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is more important to your child or mine than to know how to serve God with all of his heart and all of his soul and all of his mind, or a high dollar college education where he can make six figures and fall away from the Lord because poor people serve the Lord? I know that sounds harsh, but I also know that's true. You know, in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, there's something there that has always stuck with me. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, when Paul was telling this to the young preacher Timothy, this was a problem in the church at that time. And you know, Timothy was going to be left behind in order to set things straight in the Lord's church.
Right.
Well, brethren, Larry, elders, me, the rest of you fellows that do a little preaching, we need to always be alert and always be ready to set things right in the Lord's church.
Yeah.
Now, I speak some things from experience, and that's one thing that I know from experience. When you move away from where you are, and you begin a search for a church home, to find one that is willing to teach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, is a chore.
Yeah.
You know, I done some homework before we moved because I knew I should. I don't want to lose my soul, and I don't want to be influenced by those that have already been influenced. You know, it's easy for us to say, and I've heard it many, many times, a little bit of music don't hurt anything. But let me tell you this, a little bit of leaven leaveneth the whole loaf.
Amen.
When we move away from what is true, from that point on, it don't matter what we do.
That's right.
Because from that point on, we're lost. As I told three elders of this congregation as we sat in a meeting, I will respect you because you are the shepherds of our soul. Now, brothers and sisters, that is an awesome, awesome responsibility.
Amen.
Be thankful that we have the men here that are qualified, that are willing to serve and to do this work.
Amen.
You know, I've passed the age where I can do that anymore. I'm not physically able, and I know it. I'm not physically able to preach every day and often like I used to in my life. I'm not physically able to sit up at 3 o'clock till 3 o'clock in the morning teaching the Bible and get up at 5 o'clock and go to work. That's all behind me. So you fellows that are younger than me, think about what I'm saying. Because now we're passing the baton to you. It becomes your job to do this.
Right.
It becomes my job as a senior. And I think that maybe I have a little knowledge of God's word that I thank him tremendously for. It's my job to be vigilant, to be sure that Larry keeps telling us the truth.
Amen.
Because if he don't, he's really going to hear the Gospel of John. Now, you know, in Acts 20 and 7, it said the disciples gathered together on the first day of the week to break bread, and Paul preached to them until midnight. Well, I think you all need to get as comfortable as possible. This might take a while, because we're still about 5.5 hours away from midnight. And you know, I heard a preacher say one time, I can talk 45 minutes and not say nothing. But I can talk 20 minutes and say everything that I think I need to say. So let me ask you tonight, if you're here tonight, have you given your heart and your soul, your body, and your being to God? If you haven't done that, you're in danger of dying lost. There is no in between. There's no other way. But when you say, well, you know, and I know what I'm talking about. I had a father-in-law that I talked to quite a lot. And he told me over and over and over many, many times, John, I'm a good man. I help my fellow man all that I can. I do things for people when I can. So I'm fine. No, Dad, you're not fine. But he never would yield. Alma's sister did, her brother-in-law did, her mother did, and that has been a blessing to me. It's been encouragement to me, and the congregation that we were sent to help establish, the first people that I baptized was a family of four that I had studied with for several weeks, one or two nights a week. And on a Wednesday night, when I gave the lesson and we sang the invitation song, they came down the aisle, first the father, then the mother, then the son, and then the daughter. That was quite an uplifting experience for me, because I was still young and my head was still almost so big I couldn't keep it up here. Just couldn't hardly carry it. But I've got over that. And as you can tell, I can't speak too long and can't say too much because I'm too bashful. But I can say this, if you're not a Christian, you're lost. That's the truth.
Amen.
If you have not submitted your life to Jesus, you've been baptized into him through his death, through baptism for the remission of sins, you're lost. Believe me, you can't go halfway to heaven. Impossible. Another thing that we need to think about is, can we go alone? So let us all get busy and take someone with us. If you're here tonight and we can pray for you, we can help you in any way, stroll down this aisle and tell me what you need, and I'll see that we get it while we stand and while we sing.